Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Good to talk to you. How's things in Tennessee?
We're good, man. Getting ready for the NFL draft that's going to be happening downtown here in a few months.
Well, that's cool. It's a great event. Should be fun.
It should be. Hey, I've spoken about this routinely, consistently this season. I love your conversations with Tom Brady that aired on Westwood One Monday Night Football pregames, and I always feel like Tom Brady has every reason to be guarded, but he simply is not, which makes those interviews so interesting. I wonder if you kind of feel the same way.
Well, I think, you know, look, he's answering questions all the time, and you know, at some point, you know, I think it's a comfortable setting.
Yeah,
you know, we've known each other for a long time. We've been doing the show for a long time, and I think he does his best to, you know, to answer the questions forthrightly and in a fashion where it's not repetitive from whatever it is that he's heard, you know, from anyone else in the media, either at Sunday after the game or you know, during the week. So no, I mean, I think he obviously, it's great to have Tom Brady on. He's the best player in the history of the National Football League as a quarterback, and perhaps, you know, the greatest winner, obviously by the number of rings. That's now a statistical fact. So we're really lucky to have him every week, and the fact that he's willing to do it on in the pregame and also live at halftime is you know, really incredible. I mean, we're listening to somebody who you would want to listen to all the time, and fortunately we haven't.
You've had a long and distinguished and amazing career, obviously. I'm curious, is Tom Brady your most fascinating subject?
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say fascinating, but I would say that he's very interesting. I mean, Muhammad Ali was fascinating. Mike Tyson was fascinating because you never knew what to expect. You know, was it going to be, you know, a total train wreck, or was it going to be total love, or was it going to be somewhere in between? So Tom is unique, extremely, extremely smart, intelligent. He's a kind and gentle man. And he's thoughtful. But you don't hang on every word. On Ali, you know, you really, he was amusing, entertaining. You really hung on every word. Tom's much different.
You mentioned Mike Tyson. We played the interview that veered from everywhere to, I don't know, man, and I'm going to eat your children. And his style was impetuous and his defense was impregnable. And I'll say this. Your ability to stay calm in the most absurd of circumstances is an inspiration to all of us, Jim, because I don't know what I would have done if that was me. And you just ask, is this your shortest fight? And he said a bunch of stuff. Okay, is this your shortest fight? And he said a bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Well, a lot of practice. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. There's no reason for me to be excited. I mean, you know, I'm just there to ask whatever it is that I'm curious about based upon what it is that I think that all of us have just witnessed. So, you know, you just try and do the best you can with what it is that you think, you know, that you want to hear about and what the audience wants to hear about. So, I mean, there's no reason for me to jump off a bridge if somebody's going crazy. Let them jump.
Right.
They can jump.
So you walk away from that interview, for example, what are you thinking? What's going through your mind? What just happened was kind of what I thought.
You're talking about the
Tyson,
the
yes.
90 yeah. Set. Yeah. Well, with Mike, well, you're just never quite sure what to think, you know, because you're not always sure what he was thinking. And, you know, sometimes you laugh. And sometimes you think about, well, I wonder what precipitated that. And sometimes, you know, Mike's a very smart guy. You know, Mike is a very well-read guy. You know, he has two tattoos on his arm, one of Days of Grace and Arthur Ashe, and the other one, Chairman Mao. So he's read, you know, Arthur Ashe's book, and he's also read, you know, the Chinese manuscript, the Red Book by Chairman Mao. So he has a high degree of intelligence and intellect, and he's a very smart guy. So sometimes when he would do some of those things, you would wonder what it was that he had on his mind and what precipitated it, because a lot of times, I wouldn't say a lot of times, some of the times the questions just didn't match the answers.
Well, you've spoken, Jim Gray, our guest, you've spoken to presidents, to world leaders, to astronauts, to you name it. Do you like working outside of sports a little bit? Does that kind of give you a chance to stretch your mind and stretch your boundaries a little bit when you get to do those type of things, even if it's within the framework of sports?
Well, all of those interviews, or at least almost all of them, were regarding sports.
Right.
You know, I did work as a correspondent for the Today Show during my time at NBC, you know, and they would let me go out and do some of the things that were outside of sports and talk to some folks. And I did enjoy that. But no, I like sports, and you know, I love what it is that I've been able to do over the course of this period of time during my career. So, but obviously, speaking to all of those presidents was, you know, really interesting and really a fortunate and unique circumstance for me.
Is there a favorite interview on the Jim Gray docket to you?
Favorite one ever?
Yeah.
I haven't really done it in that fashion. I was honored to be permitted to do the last interview that Muhammad Ali ever did on television. So I don't know that that was my favorite interview, but I was most honored by that. And I was also honored that President Bush let me produce and do the documentary on him called First Pitch and do the interview for that when he threw out the ball a couple of weeks after September 11th and the terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
And so I was honored that of all the people that of the 335 million Americans that he could have picked, that he allowed me to do that.
Do you have a favorite game event? Because you covered Olympics, boxing, had 12 or 20 Super Bowls. Is there a particular game or event that stands out for you the most?
Well, I would say the night that President Bush threw out the ball, and it wasn't even an athlete, was the night that I got the biggest goosebumps and chills, that he, you know, went out there on the mound by himself, threw that ball, and said, "We're going to play baseball, and America is going to grieve, but we're going to try and have some semblance of normalcy." So I think that was an amazing symbolic gesture that was performed at a sporting event. The other one that comes to mind is when Muhammad Ali lit the torch in 1996 in Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was a great American moment. My wife worked for the Olympics, the Atlanta Olympic Organizing Committee. So those two stand out in terms of on the field. There's a lot of things that, you know, Michael Jordan shot in Utah over Brian Russell.
Was
an amazing moment. There's been a lot. Usain Bolt winning, Michael Phelps winning medals. There's been a lot of stuff. A lot of great moments that I've been able to witness. So it's hard to pick out one and say that was the favorite. But I think the first two, it'll really come to mind because, you know, it was genuine, you know, chills and genuine wow, that just happened kind of thing. And while there've been a number of them, those two kind of jump out.
Is there an athlete today? You said it, nobody's ever going to touch Muhammad Ali, just his charisma. You hung on every word. Is there somebody today that's active that you would even maybe not put in the same class, but who would you say is that athlete today that if that man or that woman talks, you say, gosh, I'm interested in what they have to say?
Well, I think there are a lot of them, but it's different now because what they're saying may be spread over social media, through their own, you know, either their own telephone and device or through their own web page or Facebook or Instagram. So it's different. You can't hang on every word because everybody has so many words. So I think that, you know, the impact is diminished in some ways and it's more prevalent in other ways.
Right.
It's kind of a little bit of both. You know, when we would watch Muhammad Ali, you know, with Howard Cosell on Wide World of Sports, that was the only time you could get him.
Right.
You know, you weren't seeing him anywhere else. You weren't, you know, possibly hearing him on sports talk radio or news radio. But that was the only, way that his message was being delivered. So it was more special. It was less presence. And, you know, there was more of a newspaper presence back then, obviously.
Right.
And, we don't have that today. So when you say, are there people who you want to hear from? Yeah, I'm interested in hearing from a lot of the people who participate. Interested in hearing from all of them. But I don't think that it's consumed in the same way that it used to be consumed.
Right. I know, I remember your interviews with Barry Bonds when people were really looking at him and where he was in his career. He and Roger Clemens are still attempting to, you know, they're still on the ballot for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Do you think we will see those guys get into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I hope so. I do. And I know that's, you know, controversial for the people who are voting and the people who've been entrusted to do that. And the information that they have, you know, is much different than the information that I have and the parameters. I don't have a vote for those particular Hall of Fames. So, but I just think that the Barry Bonds was a great player long before he decided to get involved with whatever was going on during that period. But I think we also need to look at Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. Okay, Bud Selig presided over that entire era. So Bud Selig had the ability to do something about it. And eventually, he and the Lords of Baseball eradicated this. And what they didn't eradicate, the penalties became much different and stiffer. But they also profiteered off that period of time. And by profiteering off that period of time, the game grew.
Yes.
And, you know, when Sosa and McGuire and Bonds and all these guys were hitting balls out of the park, the fans were flocking there by droves, and so Commissioner Selig and the ownership, you know, made zillions of dollars off of this stuff, okay? So why now is it okay for Bud Selig to be in the Hall of Fame when he was presiding over all of this, profiteering over all of this, yet the people who were partaking are now looked upon and viewed upon as less than wholesome, which they are. I'm not condoning cheating. Not at all. I'm just saying, to me, there seems to be, you know, how do you balance the scale like that? So at some point, people's records are their records. And we don't live in the Soviet Union. You don't wipe out all of these records just because you feel, well, okay, let's wipe them out. But we live in the United States. That was what was going on in that period. There have been other periods. We've had periods where there weren't the Negro Leagues were involved, and the great black players and African-American players were banned from the game. So you have a lot of people who went into the Hall of Fame during that period when they weren't even playing against the best players that were available to be played against. Then you have the mound was higher. Then you have the uppers and the greenies. I mean, there's been different eras in baseball all over the place. So perhaps it should be noted as the steroid era, but I think these guys should be in. That's just my feeling.
Great answer. Wow. Jim Gray, Westwood One reporter, also a member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame. Hey, thank you, Jim, for the time. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Hope to get down to Nashville. Take care, guys. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Come all see right. us. Jim Gray. There you go. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
Style is impetuous.
Yes, Titans offense coordinator Arthur Smith at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. Phone lines open 3HL 104.5 The Zone.